You're listening to a sermon from New City Fellowship in Manassas, Virginia. New City Fellowship is a diverse community that proclaims the gospel and makes disciples for the glory of God and the renewal of our city. For more information, visit newcityfellowship.net.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with those of you who are here. Let me welcome folks who are watching at home. I'll just say, if you are in the membership process and you're here this morning, you're in. You're good. Like, you've proven yourself. That's fine. It's good to gather. And, of course, for those of you who are home, you know, we understand that. It's ironic. This morning's passage has to do with the reliability of our words. And so we relied on the words of a weather report this morning that proved to be unreliable. So we're going to look at reliable words this morning in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37. Let's continue through the Sermon on the Mount this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. I'll give you just a second to flip over there. All right, Matthew 5, 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together now. God, thank you that you're with us this morning in living rooms and kitchen tables. Thank you that you're with us under this pavilion. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord. We are this morning remembering that you are faithful. Every single one of your promises is a guarantee. We bank our lives on them. God, you will remain faithful no matter what's happening in our lives. You will remain faithful no matter who gets elected this week. God, our hope is in your faithfulness. I pray, God, that through your word this morning that we would actually increase in our faithfulness, that our words would more and more reflect our actions, that when we say yes or when we say no, there would be faithful follow-through in those areas. So God, through your word, speak to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the opening illustration that I have for you this morning isn't great, but I think it gets the job done. So I used to work in the energy industry, and I'd provide fuel for construction sites. And what you observe when a new housing development is going up is you may have a nice forest with lots of trees and so forth, and they bring in the heaviest machinery known to man, and they clear that thing out. There is nothing left but dirt and construction supplies. And then they go through the process of building the homes that are there. And as to improve the aesthetics of that environment, they don't want to just leave it kind of just dirt or grass. After the houses have gone up, they put some trees in, but the new trees that they put in are unlike the trees that they had before in that they're new, they're not very stable, they're not very reliable. So they have to put these reinforcements on the new tree, if you will, these kind of posts in the ground and some wires that attach to that new tree so that that new tree can kind of be stabilized and shored up. This is really the simple point of this passage this morning. When we give our word, it should not be like those little trees. When we give our word, it should not be necessary that we have added reinforcement to help make it stable and stand and steady. For God's people, when we give our word, it should be more like the giant redwoods in Northern California. Those trees are steady. They're firm. If you were to go there right now, unless some massive catastrophic thing were to happen, you could be sure that those trees are standing there firm. When we give our word, we should not need extra promises and documents and pinky promises and spit handshakes and any of that. When we give our word, it should be a simple yes or no. And we could say that prior to coming to Christ, our words mean very little. But now that we're walking with him, there's a sense in which our words should be steady and firm, that our actions will follow through on the word that we've given. And so there's the point this morning. Because God always keeps his word, we as his people should do the same. Because God always keeps his word, we as his people should do the same. And as we walk through this passage this morning, I want to look at three questions. Number one, I want to consider, how should we not give our word? Number two, how should we give our word? And then number three, why is this so important to God? Okay? One, how should we not give our word? Number two, how should we indeed give our word? And then finally, why does this matter so much to God? A little bit of context as we think about that first question, okay? So there's an intentional flow of thought that's happening here in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins addressing the problem of lust in our lives. It follows from there that he talks about divorce. It's true that if lust is not properly dealt with in our life, then most likely we will be dealing with that second reality, divorce. And in talking about divorce, he describes how in our marriage covenant, that is a lifelong commitment. Our word must remain faithful even when marriage gets hard. So from talking about that promise or that oath, he zooms out in this section and he's talking about our oaths or our words in general. And what he shows basically in this passage, first of all, is just how we should not give our word to people. So let me just read it one more time. He said, "You've heard it was said of old, you should not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all." And he lists all kinds of things that people would give oaths by. Hey, I swear on heaven, or I promise by Jerusalem, or I promise by the hairs on my head that I'm going to do what I said that I was going to do. And what Jesus is addressing in this moment is some debate that was happening in his day about which oaths were binding and which oaths were not that binding. So it's established very clear in the Old Testament law that when God's people give their word, they need to follow through on what it was they said they were going to do. So a couple examples of this, Leviticus 19, 11 and 12 says, "You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Another example, Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. "If a man vows to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." So that's the pattern that's set up. When we speak, we need to carry out what it was we said we were going to do. But the Pharisees of Jesus' day are always looking for loopholes to get themselves out of God's law. They're always looking for an exception or a situation in which that commandment doesn't apply. And so what they began to say is, hey, if you give an oath to somebody and you swear by God himself, you're in. There's no way out of that oath. But if you make a promise on something that's important, but maybe a couple degrees down, like on heaven or on Jerusalem or even on your own head, if you make a promise with that, there may be a little bit of wiggle room if you can kind of get out on what it was you said you were going to do. So for example, if someone in that day said, "Hey, listen, if you give me 20 shekels right now, I'm going to come back in the springtime and I'm going to give you 10 sheep. I swear by Jerusalem that I'm going to do this." The shekels are given to the person, the time passes, and it's time to deliver on the sheep, and the guy says, "Well, actually, I'm not going to be able to do that." And the person might say, "Well, you've promised. You even promised by Jerusalem." Might say, "Well, Jerusalem, but I didn't actually pledge by God, so there's a little bit of wiggle room here." That's the kind of debate that's happening in Jesus' day. Like, what kind of oath binds you to your word, and what situation can you get yourself out of if you've given your word? Many of us in elementary school can remember just a similar situation. So The word of elementary schoolers is not the most reliable thing, especially between each other. So there could be a situation, let's just say, where Halloween has passed. I've eaten all of my Halloween candy, but the kid on the bus next to me has a pack of Starburst, and I want those Starburst. I need them, and so I'm going to make a pledge. Hey, listen, let me have those on the bus, at least some of them, and when we get home off the bus, I'll give you $2. And that kid would say to me, forget it. Are you kidding me? There's no way that I'm going to do that. And then what I would then need to do is up the ante a little bit, where I would say, no, I promise, I really will. And they'd say, no, I don't trust you. Okay, listen. What would we say? I swear to God, if you give this to me when we get home, or if it was a more like agnostic or atheistic second grader, you might say, listen, I swear on my life. I swear on so-and-so's grave. And you add some things to the equation so that you're actually obligated to follow through on it when you get home. That's essentially the struggle that's happening here that Jesus is addressing. When do you actually have to do what you said you were going to do? Now, here's the thing. What do all of these complicated oaths and swears imply? They imply that your word is not reliable. All of these swears and promises and documents and oaths, all of them imply when you say something and just say it, it can't be trusted. So what Jesus is helping us understand here is this. Only dishonest people need oaths and promises. Only people who lack integrity or whose word can't be relied upon need these kinds of firm swears and promises attached to their word. And so what Jesus is saying to our question this morning is this. How should we not give our oaths? Don't add things to your yes or your no to make it more reliable. Don't give swears. Don't give spit handshakes. No pinky promises. Don't let that describe the way that you give your word to people. How then should we give our word? How should we give our word? His answer to that question is very simple, but I think very powerful. How should we give our word? Jesus would say to us, simply say yes or no, and then let your action follow through on whatever it is you said. Let's read it one more time. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. If you need extra oaths to make what you said more reliable, that's evil because it means that your simple yes cannot be trusted. It cannot be relied upon, and it needs extra reinforcements to make it stand. Simply say yes or no. For God's people, our word is our bond. When we say we're going to do something, that enough by itself should stand firm without reinforcements, and we should be trusted to do what we said we're going to do. Now, this may create a little obstacle in our minds based on what Jesus said here in verse 34. Jesus says, but I say to you, do not take an oath at all. What does Jesus mean there? Does Jesus mean that we should be just kind of non-committal people where the answer is always maybe? Like, hey, are you going to work tomorrow? Maybe. I don't know. Jesus said not to kind of give an oath, and I don't want to overcommit, so it's possible that I'll show up at work tomorrow. No, that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying that we should not be people of commitment or people who even pledge ourselves to things. What he's saying is don't add all these extra reinforcements when you make a commitment. And what I would suggest to you is that giving commitments or promises or our word is actually a very loving and godly thing to do. In fact, love requires at times that we give up some freedoms and commit ourselves to something. We jump in on a thing. Love requires that. And so it's right and godly for us to make commitments to people on the first hand. Like, we should be able to say, hey, you're moving on Saturday, I'll be there. Rain or shine, I commit that to you. Hey, you're struggling financially, I commit this amount to you. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to help you out with this. hey, we've been dating for a long time. I want to commit myself to you to a higher degree and get married. All of those are right things to do. They just don't need added, you know, I swear by this or I swear by that. And friends, listen, I think it's actually even a godly thing to do by ourselves in the presence of God to make commitments or give our word to God himself. In a time of prayer, maybe in a time of repentance, say, hey God, before you right now, I pledge I'm never going to say that again. I'm never going to speak that way again. Would you help me now follow through on that commitment? Hey God, I want to be more generous this year. In your presence right now, I want to pledge to you that I'm going to give in this way or serve in that way. These are good, godly things to do. But when we say that we're going to do one of these things, we need to be faithful to follow through on it without an added swear or pledge. And so what I want to do, recognizing then how important our word is, just give a few applications so that we can really allow our yes to mean yes and our no to mean no. Okay, so given this is how we should make commitments, just say yes or no. What are some helpful things for us to think about in the context of our commitments? Here's the first thing that I want to encourage you all to do. You should be very slow and thoughtful before you give your word. Not on a trivial thing like, hey, you know, want to go to Guapo's after church? Sure, let's go. Like, that's fine. But before you say you're going to do something, be very thoughtful about it. Because if you said you're going to do it, you have to follow through. You have to remain true to your word. So, for example, in Psalm 15, it's describing the type of person that will dwell in God's presence. And one of the characteristics of this person that will dwell in God's presence, it says this: he who swears to his own hurt is the type of person who's commended in God's sight. That means when you give your word to someone, you follow through, even if it's costly, even if it hurts you, even if there were some circumstances that you maybe weren't expecting, you need to follow through, which means give some thought. Slow down before you throw your word on a thing. And then I think a second application point here is that we need to do our best to follow through even in the spirit of what we've committed, even if we're unable to. So what happens when we give our word to a thing, but something happens that challenges that where we feel like we maybe need to get out of it or we have to get out of it? Well, let me just imagine, for example, that you've signed up to serve in kids ministry at New City. And let's just say that same, I'm terrible at managing my calendar. Let's just say my wife booked something that same weekend and we need to be out of town. What I then want to do is go to the kids coordinator and say, hey, listen, I gave you my word that I'm going to be there. What I simply wanted to talk with you about is, number one, would you release me from my word? And if not, fine, I'm there. If you can't release me from it, that's okay. And number two, hey, I'm going to help get somebody who can play my role on kids ministry that day. I'm going to follow through the spirit of what I've committed by doing everything that I can to make sure that role is fulfilled. Or maybe it's a situation where it's impossible for you to follow through on what you committed. Maybe you've gotten sick and you cannot show up at kids ministry to help serve that week. But then what you should do is, one, not just not show up, make sure that you call up and say, hey, I gave you my word. I can't be there. I've come down sick. And we'd say, amen, stay home. That's fine. But then also, I want to help you see if I can find someone who can do that for me. I want to follow the spirit of what I've committed by doing everything that I can to make sure that we follow through. Even when we've given our word and something happens outside of our control, we should do everything we can to follow through on it. So that's the second application point. And then finally this, I think we should take some time to just call to memory or think about commitments that we've already given. Do any of you ever stop and think about, hey, where has my word kind of bound me to a thing? Where have I said that I would do something? Take some time to think about that. Even this week, what are some areas of my life that I've given my word to? It could be, for example, to your employer. Like, you've got a commitment on your hours or on something that you said that you would do. And honestly, many of you working from home, it's a little easier to fudge on exactly kind of what that agreement was. Hey, you should remember what you said to your employer that you would do. Even if they're not watching and even if you can get away with it, it doesn't matter. Be faithful with the commitment you made to your employer. What about marriage? Maybe do you ever take some time to think about the pledges that you have made in your wedding vows? Hey, I've committed here. I want to be faithful to follow through on those. Parents, let me talk to you for a second. When you give your word to your kids, you need to be absolutely sure that you follow through. And I want to apply that specifically to the context of discipline or consequences. It is so unhealthy for your kids, particularly young kids, to make a threat, if you will, about a consequence, and then to not actually follow through on what you said that you're going to do. Your kids need to learn, one, that there's boundaries that they cannot cross, and two, when you say that you're going to do something, you will follow through. You know, so don't have some radical, hey, if you don't stop doing that, I'm throwing all your Halloween candy away, unless you actually plan on doing that if they're not going to follow through on it. You need to be very reliable, very committed to the things that you say to your kids, especially in the context of discipline. And just the last area I want to call our memory to for an area where we maybe have made commitments in is simply to the church. So whether it be your discipleship group, that if you've joined a discipleship group, you've made some commitments about how you're going to engage in that group. Maybe it's your missional community. Hey, you've said you're going to be a part of it. Now you need to actually engage and be active in it. And then, of course, the big one that we make a pledge to, that we together before the presence of the church and before God, is our church covenant. So I just want to rattle off some of the things, not verbatim, but some of the things that you have committed to before the presence of God, you have given your yes to as a covenant member of this church. All of you who are new members at New City have pledged to work and pray for unity in the church. All of you who are members have agreed to watch out for one another and speak up when something is off in our lives. We've committed to gather for worship. Good job for those of you who are here. If you're home, you know, we appreciate you doing that. But the regular pattern of our Sunday is that, yes, we will be there for worship. You've committed to disciple your kids and share the good news with those around us. You've committed to carry the burdens of other people when life gets heavy. You've committed to deny ungodliness and pursue a holy life. You've given your word to give your time and your money to the ministry of the church. You've given your word to not just leave the church when you get angry, but to work for unity or to find another church where you can carry out these commitments. These are all things that we've given our yes to. My encouragement to you this week is to take some time and consider, where have I made a pledge and am I being faithful in those areas? Where have I given my yes to, and how can I be faithful in those? So we've looked at how we should not give our word. We've looked at how we should give our word. And then just lastly, let's briefly reflect on this. Why is this so important to the Lord? Why is this so important to God? Here's why. The great mission, the great calling of your life, is to become more and more like your Lord Jesus Christ. That is what your life is all about. That is the purpose of your life, to become more and more like Jesus. And before we were walking with Jesus, man, our words for most of us probably meant very little. The value of our words was next to nothing. Before walking with Jesus, we were liars to ourselves, liars to others, liars to God. And when we said yes to something, it needed all kinds of extra reinforcement to make sure that we would actually do it. In fact, without coercion or manipulation, chances are we were not going to do what we said we were going to do. Now contrast that with some of these descriptions of God's word in the Bible. Let me actually, just for the sake of time, give you just a couple. Ezekiel 12:25, this is what God's word is like. For I am the Lord, I will speak the word that I will speak, and it will be performed. Psalm 12:6-7. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified 7 times. You, O Lord, will keep them. Whenever God speaks, exactly what he spoke comes to pass. Whenever God makes a promise, he will be faithful to keep it. And as we are following in the footsteps of Jesus, our aim in life is to make our words like his words. Let me close by giving you one of the most precious promises, one of the most powerful promises God has ever made to you and me. This is what he says to us as we close. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, here's his promise to you. You will be saved. Then in Romans 10:13, he says, again, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is his promise to us this morning. That if we will acknowledge that we are sinful, that we have turned our backs on God's, that we are actually deserving of God's wrath, but that he sent his son down to die under the weight of that wrath in our place, and that if we will confess that this Savior who died on the cross is our Lord, and if we will truly believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, the promise of God to you and me is that you will be saved. And when God makes promises about his salvation, he often accompanies with it physical symbols to that promise. And listen to me. God does not give us elements like these in my hand to shore up his word as though he were slow to keep his word. He gives us physical elements because we are slow to believe his word. And we need tangible reminders like this to say, yes, God is faithful. Yes, his word is true. Yes, he can be trusted. Yes, he can be relied upon. So in just a moment, for those of you who have gathered with us, I'm going to invite you to participate in communion. If you weren't able to grab a little cup, there's some in the basket on the back. You can feel free to grab one. If you're here this morning or you're watching from home and you've never confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you do not believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, please don't take this, but do in fact this morning take that promise from God. Believe that promise for yourself. If you confess that Jesus is Lord, if you believe God raised him from the dead on your behalf, you will be saved. God's yes is always yes. If you choose this morning to believe that promise, you will in fact be saved from all of your sins. You will in fact be given eternal life in the presence of God. And so if you're here, take these elements this morning as a tangible reminder that God's promise of salvation is true for you. If you're home this morning, perhaps you can quietly reflect on some of the things that we've thought about this morning. Let's pray together now to our always faithful God. God, you are indeed always faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. When you say something, it will most surely come to pass. God, give us faith to believe that for the ups and downs and difficulties of our life. Give us faith to believe that concerning our sins, that you have covered them, atoned for them, and forgiven us through your spilled blood that we take and remember through these elements. God, we trust you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.